Well, as we currently enter this early season of spring, how many of you actually enjoy sitting around a campfire now and then and hanging out with family and friends? That's one of the things that we can enjoy in these spring and even summer months. And even better is when we get to roast marshmallows or hot dogs or something like that that we just enjoy. There's something about hanging out and enjoying just the weather of the season. The one thing that I've always appreciated about Michigan is we definitely have four distinct seasons, and therefore I think when summer and spring hits, we really appreciate it. Whereas there's other parts of our nation, they maybe have just a small window of winter and not so much that we would know up here. But over the years, I've built a few campfires in my day, and depending on the design of the fire pit and how well the air can flow, as well as how dry the wood is and how well I can keep the matches lit if it's a windy day, that all affects how successful I am in building a fire. Anybody been there? Nothing more frustrating than you no more than get a match lit, or you get your lighter lit and phew, the wind blows out the flame, you know, and so you just keep clicking and clicking, or you get your wet wood, all the frustrations that can come with building a campfire. Another area where I've had experience with fire training, as many of you know, I still work for Consumers Energy, but I was in the gas distribution department for about 8.5 years. And while in that department, every year we had a refresher fire extinguisher training, because whether you know it or not, it's interesting that we have welders that actually weld on pipe, steel pipe, with live gas running through them. And so just in case something is to happen, we always have a fire extinguisher on hand when welding occurs. And I've seen some interesting situations from time to time. It's been kind of fun. But, fun. It actually, you know, it can get interesting. You know, once you know what you're dealing with and you know what's necessary for handling it, it's like anything else. You know, you don't get quite as shook up. You always have a healthy respect, but it doesn't rock your world, you know, when you see something a little bit out of the ordinary. But as I would take that fire extinguisher training every year, one of the things that I learned was a little more about fires and fire extinguishers than I realized, and how they work and how they function. And we always had what was called an ABC fire extinguisher, which had chemical in it, that basically the goal of the chemical was to snuff out the oxygen in a fire, which would automatically put the fire out. And so what you learn through that process is, in order for fire to actually exist, it has to have three conditions that exist that have to be brought together in order for fire to exist. So you're not going to walk over or go to your local grocery store and pick up a can of fire. You know, we know that it's the result of a source of energy. We know that it consumes things, but fire in itself is not a commodity you can go purchase or you can locate. It's the result of bringing various conditions and elements together. And those conditions that exist for fire, and I have a PowerPoint up here to show you. Number one is you've got to have oxygen. If you don't have oxygen, like I've already mentioned, there will be no fire. The second element you have to have is heat, which is also how a fire is ignited. A lot of times you want kind of a quick burst of heat, but nonetheless, you need heat. And then finally, you need fuel, which typically is wood, but sometimes, you know, if any of you have seen a gasoline fire, it can get quite volatile in a hurry. And so fuel, some of you have seen fields on fire, grass fires, wildfires. So, but in any kind of fire, all three of these components have to exist, and then voila, you got fire. Okay, so what's interesting is as I began to seek the Lord in terms of understanding more clearly how the supernatural works, he actually gave me the, you know, working in the gas distribution field, he said the Lord showed me how there is components to the supernatural that function the same way, only on a spiritual level, as fire does on a natural level. And so in order for the supernatural to occur, there also has to be three conditions, spiritual conditions, that have to be brought together in order for you to experience the supernatural. And interestingly enough, over the course of a number of weeks now, we've been talking about these various conditions. Whether you knew that or not, we've been kind of chipping away at them a little bit at a time, one at a time. But what we want to do today is we want to now take what we've learned over the course of this series, and we want to start adding things up. We want to bring things together. You know, I mean, it's nice to have a load of bricks, but at some point you want to start putting those bricks together to build a wall and eventually build a building, correct? And building blocks are important, but they don't accomplish a whole lot if we don't ever piece them together. And the same thing is true with fire and also the supernatural. So what we want to look at is each one of these components again today, but then we're going to look at various examples in the Word of God, how those components are brought together to bring into existence the supernatural. All right? So the first component then is faith. Now, how many know with oxygen, you need to have a certain level? You have too little oxygen, you won't have fire, and if you have too much oxygen or air, it'll blow the fire out, right? And so faith can be kind of like that. We need faith in order for the supernatural to exist, and we've looked at various scriptures about that. We'll come back to it. We'll look at them again. The second component that we need to bring into this is spiritual authority. That can be similar to like heat or an ignition source. If you remember, we've talked about one of the ways that you exercise spiritual authority is by speaking, right? You speak to the mountain. And if you remember, and we're going to look at this verse various times today, but we're going to see the different emphasis in the verse, is Mark 11, 22 through 24. But it emphasizes faith, but it also emphasizes speaking, which is an exercise of spiritual authority. And when you bring those two things together, it releases power, spiritual power. And we talked about that last week on Easter Sunday, with the power of the resurrection, that same power that raised Christ from the dead has been given to us. Amen? And so when you bring faith and authority together, it releases the power of God to produce the supernatural. And so just as we have a fire being produced, and it will not be produced without bringing three components together, the same holds true with the supernatural power of God being released to produce something. So you need faith, you need spiritual authority, and you need power. And what I want to do is I want to go back and look at each of these conditions one at a time, but then we're going to look at, again, like I said, a number of examples where these different conditions, if you will, spiritual conditions, are brought together, and you will see a common thread in Scripture. Whenever you see the supernatural happening in the pages of Scripture, you will witness this connection going on. And I was never taught this early on in my walk with Christ. And so when the Lord be, there was a point where I first started saying, Lord, I want to understand healing more effectively. Because I heard, and maybe of you, some of you struggle with the same kinds of things I did. You know, you'd have people that said, well, that doesn't occur anymore. And then you had people that said, well, it's guaranteed in the atonement. And then you had other people that were like middle of the road, and they believed in the supernatural power of God and the gifts of the Spirit and healing and all that, but sometimes God did, sometimes he didn't. And it was like, this was so, so confusing to me, because I'm like, who's right and who's wrong? And literally out of just a place of desperation, I just said, God, I need you to show me what is really the truth here. How does this really work? And this is literally how the Lord began to show me that healing is guaranteed. Okay? Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we have been healed. Now, you understand, because I've been emphasizing this over the weeks, that is a spiritual healing. That's accomplished in the spiritual realm. Okay? And so that's why it's guaranteed. Well, nobody explained that to me. And honestly, I think a lot of people that preached on healing didn't know themselves what they were really trying to say. They just knew by your stripes you're healed, and they would keep repeating that a lot of times. But even they couldn't figure out or understand, okay, that's the truth, but why isn't it happening? And they were equating it to natural healing, not just spiritual healing. But then even then it was frustrating to me, because there's the people who don't believe in physical healing that would say, yeah, that's just a spiritual healing, and they would just let it lie there. And that frustrated me, because I'm like, but the Bible talked, I mean, Jesus healed all kinds of people. And so I'm just like, so that is not satisfactory too. And it's when the Lord began to show me this principle, that it is done in heaven. You have been healed in the spiritual realms. All the provision necessary for your divine healing has been bought and paid for. And Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, did he not? And it wasn't just sin. It was the result of sin. However, in order to get what has been provided into the natural, nobody, and I mean nobody, told me that there was another set of processes that you would need to go through in order to get in the natural what you already possess in the supernatural, the spiritual realm. And so this was a wrestling that I have, and a journey that I have gone through and wrestled with and wrestled with and wrestled with. Well, the problem is I'm just analytical enough as a person. I'm not satisfied until I can understand something. Sometimes that's a crutch. I mean, that's you know, Dawn, she can just say, well, that's what it says. That's what I believe. And boom. And I want to walk up and shake her. I'm like, yeah, but why? You know, A plus B equals C. Come on. There's a formula here. What is going on? You know, of course, you know, then we try to put God in our boxes, right? But because of that analytical mind of mine, I continued to pursue. I said, there has to be a connection here. And this is that connection, all right? And I'm going to just show you, because a lot of times when we read Scripture, we just pull out the book, pull out the Bible, and we just start reading the passages, right? And that's not bad. I'm not saying that's bad. But there's principles in God's Word that we've got to go from various passages to see how they fit together and to see that they're consistent. They happen again and again and again and again. And when you see that, then the Scripture becomes even more applicable and alive, not just as a story in history, but as the living Word that comes into my life and brings transformation. And so that's what I want to do this morning, is I just want to, and if we don't get through it all today, guess what? We'll just keep going along, because I believe God wants you to have this in your heart. Because I believe He wants us walking in the supernatural. Now I'm going to pause for a minute and I'm going to say this. This is something that the Lord has really had on my heart today. A lot of times we, and I'm guilty as charged, pursue the supernatural because of a desperate need in our own life. Dawn and I have had that. You've heard the story. And because of our situation with children, and the fact that the doctors have done all they can do, and they have not been able to medically bring the result that we have longed for, I said, okay, God, if this is ever going to happen, it's going to have to happen supernaturally, because the natural world's done everything they know how to do. And so I have been guilty myself of it. It has kept me pursuing how God does things. But in time, God has also shown me that that can't be the only reason we want to understand and know about the supernatural power of God. Jesus came to save those who were lost. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to earth, and that's why He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, open blinded eyes, and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's how the people knew that this kingdom was a powerful, spiritual, supernatural kingdom. It wasn't just like any other kingdom in this world. And I want to tell you, this is really my heartbeat of why I continue to pursue this, not only for Dawn and myself, but for us as a church. I am convinced that if we do not learn and pursue and seek the Lord on how to walk in the supernatural, that is why the church is being ruled unfruitful and ineffective in the culture that we live in today. Would you agree with that? Do you see the church advancing in America or digressing? Okay? You know why? Because we don't look any different than United Way, the Salvation Army, any other benevolent organization out there. You know how I know that? Because when people can't get what they need in a desperate situation from United Way and Berry County Cares and other organizations in this community, you know who they call? They call the church. I'm sorry, but you know the way the world looks at us? It isn't as a transforming supernatural entity. It's as another benevolent welfare kind of organization to take care of me when I get into a crisis. Now, I'm not saying that we don't help the poor and clothe the sick and, or, you know, heal the sick, you know, those kinds, I mean, medically or whatever. But what I am saying is that until the people in this world see a difference from us than anything else out there that they can find, it isn't going to mean a whole hill of beans to them. But I'll guarantee you, if we as a body start tapping into the supernatural, not just one or two, but we begin to pursue the natural, and there is a glory cloud that fills this place, you're not going to keep people out of here. We're going to have to build bigger. We're going to have to do whatever. And I'm not, that's not, I mean, it's that in itself is not the end, other than to say that the people of that need Jesus are the end. It's the kingdom of God. It's for His glory. And so everything that I'm sharing about this, it's for that purpose. It's for that purpose. And I've shared with you this before. You know, my primary gift is teaching. But I am not a motivational speaker. I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm just a grind it out, lay it on the line. This is what God's Word says. This is what it'll do in your life. If you'll apply it, it'll change your life. And I'm going to tell you, if that change starts happening on supernatural levels, I don't have to have a fog machine in this place. I don't have to have the latest and the greatest drama to entertain the flesh of a person's heart. All we need is the power of God. And I'm telling you what, it'll shake things up. And you know what? If it doesn't happen any other way, then maybe it shouldn't happen any other way. That's a noble thought, right? Or an interesting thought. But so I'm just, that wasn't even in my notes. That's no extra charge today. But this is what's on my heart. That I do believe that we should see less empty spots in here. But it's not going to happen because we're flashy and dancy, and it's going to happen because something supernatural happens and it's real. So I want you to know what my motive is for teaching this to you. And my prayer is that you are going to find the courage within you to just not go out there every week and come to church every week. My prayer is that you're going to go out and you're going to have conversations with people, and you're going to start laying hands on people, and you're going to have prophetic words for people. So that they're saying, where do you go to church again? What do they do there again? And you mean I've got a cause to live for that's bigger than just living and dying and trying to make a way, as Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote years ago in a song? There's more to it. There's more to this life than just those things. Oh, yeah. It's called bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's what it's about. And so if I get through all this or I don't get through this today, that's on my heart. You know, how many of us just go through the motions? How many of us just, well, I've got my get out of hell free card. I'm good. As long as me and my family are good, I'm content. That's not the heart of Jesus, folks. That's not the heart of the Father. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you seeking and saving lost souls? And I'll guarantee you, if Jesus didn't do any miracles, he would have had no more attention than anybody else did. So we need to know how to walk in the supernatural. Now, I'm going to get into some of the struggle next week. Lord be willing, it might be 3 weeks, who knows. You know, we'll get into some of the reasons why we don't see things transpiring the way they do, or the way we believe, you know, we see them in the Bible. But we've got to throw off some of our old paradigms so that we can get a God paradigm. There are some things that we've been taught or we've experienced over the years that they got to go. They just got to go. And I'm telling you, for me, it's been a journey to get there. But I'm there. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I'm sick and tired of people being sick and tired. Amen? I really want to see the kingdom of God manifest. And I'm going to tell you how that's going to happen through you. Through you. So I'm asking you, don't treat these as just another sermon. I'm praying that what I'm imparting to you, that I believe is by the Holy Spirit, is something that you just don't hear, but something that you digest, you meditate on, you pursue God for, to say, until I get what pastor's talking about, I'm not going to be satisfied, and I'm not going to stop pursuing until I get it. For the sake of the kingdom of God and the glory of God. So back to our regular broadcast. So the first component that makes up these conditions that brings the supernatural is faith. And we've talked about this previously by focusing heavily on Mark 9:23, when Jesus was talking to the man who had a son who had been experiencing torment. And he said to Jesus, "If you can do anything." And Jesus said in 9:23, "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for the one who believes." See, that's the first component to this diagram, is we've got to believe. And then Mark, and we've seen it in Mark 11:22 through 24. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Now, if you notice, I've purposely boldened and underlined the specific parts of this verse, these verses, that relate with faith, so that you can see all three of the parts of this, if you want to call it a formula, which I guess oxygen and heat and fuel aren't really a formula, but they are the bringing together of these conditions, right? This is the first part. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask him for prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." This is the faith component that is required for the supernatural, because without faith, it's impossible, right? Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Well, how are you going to seek God if you don't believe in him? Because he's in the spiritual realm, right? God is spirit. And his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you bring spirit and truth together, what do you get? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? And so we must have that faith component. All right? Now, the next spiritual condition we'll focus on is spiritual authority. Again, as I've taught throughout this series, spiritual authority is the rights a person has to rule over his or her own life within the spiritual realm and to resist illegal intrusion. And then also to minister to others who agree to allow them to minister on the spiritual level. Okay? So you have that right. And it must now be combined with faith. All right? So faith alone won't get the supernatural. Faith just simply makes the supernatural possible, because you got to believe in order to access the spiritual realm. But now we have to have more than just faith. We have to act upon that faith somehow. So we've got to bring what we believe and what we do together. They must be joined together. And so along with faith, the exercise of spiritual authority must be present for something supernatural to occur. But here's an important question. We've already seen the speaking component, but how do we exercise spiritual authority? Do you know that there's actually various ways to do this? To exercise your authority? Okay, again, we're just going to look back at Mark 11:22 through 24 again. But now, look at what it says. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Do you see the speaking component here? All right? Now, you can't leave out the faith component, right? You've now got to bring the two together. And we see this in example after example after example in God's Word. We're just going to start chipping away at these examples so that you can see these two principles coming together in God's Word, all right? But one way that we can exercise spiritual authority then is through speaking a command towards something in the name of Jesus, right? In that when he said, speak to the mountain. So if you've got some infirmity in your body, how many times do we say, Lord Jesus, would you heal this? And Jesus is going, spiritually speaking, I already have. Now you got to take what's by faith done by his stripes. You have been healed, and you've got to exercise your authority to speak to that area of your body and command it to be healed in Jesus' name. Now, I know there's plenty of movies out there that mock faith healers and all that type of thing and make it look ridiculous because things don't happen. All right? Well, we'll get into some of that in future weeks. But all I'm saying is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because you see somebody in the media misinterpret or distort something that's actually true according to the Word of God to make a mockery of it. God will not be mocked, people. A person reaps what they sow. And so we need to sow to the Spirit, not the flesh, right? And so, let's look at an example where this happened. We're going to look at Luke 5, 17 through 26. There's a paralyzed man here. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. Listen to this now. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. It's interesting that Luke wrote this. I believe this is early on in Jesus' ministry. And I don't believe that Luke wrote this, meaning that sometimes the power of the Lord is there and sometimes it's not. And that's how that is sometimes interpreted. Well, sometimes the power of the Lord is present to heal, and sometimes the power of the Lord isn't there to heal. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash. This is the one thing that you saw, and I haven't even got to this part yet, but the faith is spiritual authority and power, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, the faith component and the spiritual authority component are the two of the three that can waver. The power one, that's a constant. I'm going to illustrate it. Just like, I shared this last week, but just like a socket, okay? You can consider that faith would be your action to be willing to plug the cord in. All right? You believe that there's power in that socket. So because you believe it, you also exercise authority and do something about it. And you take the cord and you use your authority, your right to plug it in, and you plug it in. And guess what? The power is there, always. Now, again, if we have a storm, natural illustrations have limitations. But in terms of heavenly energy, right? The utility of heavenly energy, it never goes out. It's always there. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is constantly there waiting for us to tap into it, okay? And so therefore, Luke says this. He says, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Now, they were trying to plug the cord into the socket. And there was something standing in their way, right? Okay? Now listen, they believed that if they got the cord plugged in, something would happen. So if you believe that power is present and something's going to happen, are you going to give up? Are you going to stop trying? Because you believe that the power is there, ready to go, and for you to accomplish what you need to accomplish, you're not going to let that bury. You're going to try to figure out another way to get to that socket to plug it in, right? Okay, well, let's look at what they did. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on a mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. How many think these were some determined gentlemen? You know? All of a sudden, you know, digging a hole in the roof. Because I know if we get him in there, he's going to be healed. See, this is how we know whether a person really believes that something's going to happen. It's not it's not always that, oh, I've got to get more faith. No. It's that God's word said it. It gave me a promise. And I might not be able to get to that promise through this avenue, but because I believe the answer is there, I'm going to try it this avenue. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to try it this avenue. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to try it this avenue. Because I know when I get there, I'm going to get what I asked for. So I'm not going to give up. How many people, when they say, Lord, heal me, and it doesn't happen, default to, well, it must not be God's will then. As if God turned off the lights. He turned off the power source. He shut off the big breaker in the sky. He doesn't do that. And so, in order to get what we believe, we got to keep persevering until we do. You don't take no for an answer because God has not said no. Because his word tells us that every promise in Christ is yes and amen. Amen? So let's continue. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, again, they went through the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus, listen to this, saw their faith. How do you see faith? By what they did, right? See, Jesus could see their faith because they weren't taking no for an answer. They believed. If we just get him to Jesus, that's all it's going to take. That's all it's going to take. And so he saw that. And so isn't this not, okay, there's component one, right? Faith. We've already seen the third component, power was present for him to heal. So what's left? Come on, what's left? The spiritual authority, right? Yes. Now, you're saying actions. You're right. Because there are different ways that we can express spiritual authority. They did it through their actions. They brought him. They believed, and so they did something about their belief. They brought him through the ceiling. And so Jesus said, since he saw their faith, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, was that exactly what they brought him there for? In their mind? It wasn't. But what does this tell us about God's heart? God just doesn't want us healed physically, and then spiritually we stay separated from him for all eternity in hell, right? God wants us whole, spirit, soul, and body. And so Jesus goes to the root first. But also, Jesus also knew there were some religious folks in the house that was about ready to get offended. And he was also seeking to deal with their heart condition because they didn't believe. They had a religious box. And Jesus, even though they might not appreciate it, loved them enough that he wanted to break through their religious boxes because it was keeping them from the kingdom of God as well. So even Jesus, even though he got kind of firm at times, that's putting it nicely, with these religious dudes, he was still had a bigger goal, okay? And so he says, the Pharisees and the teacher of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Religious. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say?" Everybody say that, to say. "To say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk." Now, I could come up here, have somebody pray the sinner's prayer, and I could tell them today, your sins are forgiven. And they could believe it and walk on their merry way and have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And that isn't very difficult, is it? Every one of us have probably been there. Or at least I hope so. All right? But I wonder if I'd have the same track record if I got them and said, okay, you're healed. Okay? Now, if we're walking in this in its fullness, yes, we could, because Jesus did, right? How many times does it say in the scripture he went into a city and he healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil? He did that. But there was no limitations or inhibitions to his faith or his authority. Ours, we got some things to work on. But nonetheless, he said, or say, get up and walk. But I want you to know, now this is key, that the Son of Man, did he say the Son of God, which refers to his deity? He said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth. That's a key phrase. What have we been saying from the outset of this series? That we, as the human race, from the beginning, were the ones who were given authority to rule this planet. And we were deceived and sinned, and spiritual authority was lost. We didn't lose personal authority. We didn't lose our free will. But we did not have authority over the devil until Jesus came back and destroyed the works of the devil, right? But Jesus here is the one human being previous to the cross who never lost spiritual authority in his humanness because he was also the Son of God. But what he's saying here is, listen, what I'm telling you right now is that I'm speaking of an earthly thing here, a physical body, so that you know that the Son of Man, this is interesting, even has the authority to forgive sins. Again, not the Son of God. And it caused the Pharisees to get a cramp, a brain cramp instantly, right? He says, but so that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Did Jesus have a 30-minute prayer? Oh, Lord, please heal them. Oh, Lord, Jesus, you know, I mean, Father. No. He said to the guy, hey, friend, rise up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe. Now, this is what we want to see, folks. This is what we want to see. How many think that there was some attention that came? Right? They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Do you see all three parts? All three conditions met here. And so therefore, and Jason, or you can just go to the very last slide for right now. Every one of those existed in this story. Right? The power of God was present. Jesus said, so that you know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I tell you, take up your mat and go home. And certainly faith was present because this guy's friends wouldn't take no for an answer. And they kept pursuing. They didn't give up. Now here's the danger. You can say, yeah, but it was this person's faith, it was Jesus' words, and it was, you know, the power of God. Yeah, okay, I can believe that's there. And so you might go, well, how can we all, as one person, bring all those together then? It's because of the cross and the resurrection. Right? You, Ephesians 2:6, have been seated in heavenly places. You, Ephesians 1:3, have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. 2 Peter 1, that his divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So you already possess those things spiritually. But you have to believe that. So you can, by your faith, believe that you have those things. That's your faith, not another person's faith. Your faith, because God's word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that is said to you. Secondly, we did a whole message related to spiritual authority, that as a child of God, who's been born of God, who's been adopted and become a child in the family, we have received authority as a child of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So now what we've got to learn to do is how to exercise that spiritual authority. Now, there were really two forms of exercising that authority in this particular passage. Number one was these people brought this man to them. They were exercising. Jesus said, I saw your faith, but the actions was exercising the authority to in their faith. Does that make sense? They were doing something about it. So sometimes, and I'll get into this next week. I got to wrap this up. I have lots of passages But it's so fun. It was just so fun just focusing on this one passage this morning, just chewing on it, chewing on it. You know, we're going to do this for a few weeks. We're just going to chew, and we're going to see again and again and again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? I want to raise the level of faith in this house. And I want to challenge you to, as your faith increases, that you begin to act or speak upon your faith by your spiritual authority that you have the right to exercise. Trusting that the power of God is always present to produce something supernaturally. Now, as we go through this process, I'm just trying to lay that as a foundation, okay? Just trying to lay it as a foundation right now. I can already hear, because I had these questions myself. Yeah, but Pastor, you can say this till you're blue in the face, and that's great that Jesus did this, but I'm not seeing that in my life. Well, we're going to look at what some of these roadblocks are. And I'm just going to give you a little secret that we won't get to this for a little bit. But it does have to do with inhibitions to your faith and inhibitions or obstacles to exercising spiritual authority. I'm telling you, folks, there are so many tools the devil uses to keep us in unbelief or at least doubt, and to keep us from walking in our identity in Christ as a child of God and therefore exercising our spiritual authority. And sometimes, I hate to say it, but there's way too many Christians that are just flat out too lazy to do it. I know that that's not a very, woo, that built me up today, Pastor. Woo, thanks. Appreciate that. Right? But I'm telling you, we get so caught up into this world system and everything that we have to do day after day after day, that we do not take the time to overcome the gates of hell. When's the last time you even walked close to the gates of hell and said, you're not standing there anymore? There's a lot of different gates, folks. A lot of different obstacles. It's time to start kicking those gates down. Because Jesus said, they will not prevail against the church. But they're not just going to fall by accident. You're going to have to use your spiritual authority to do it. Amen? So as we go this week, we're going to keep chewing on this. I've established this formula. You know, each week I'll try to give a brief little, okay, remember the formula. Before we're done, you are not going to forget the three words: faith, spiritual authority, and power brings the supernatural. And you're going to get it so much that you're going to go, okay, Lord, what do I need to work on to overcome this issue in my life? What do I need to work on to minister to that person that I work with? You know, if they will, this is interesting, if they will let you minister to them, if they say yes, if they engage their will, I want you to know something. As long as they say yes, your faith and your spiritual authority can bring something supernatural into someone else's life. Not just yours, someone else's. As long as they're willing. This is why when Jesus went into his own hometown, it said he didn't do many mighty works or miraculous works there. It was because they looked at him and said, oh, this is Joseph's son, and isn't this his brother, and this his sister? And it says he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith or their unbelief. It wasn't because the power wasn't there. It wasn't because he didn't have the authority. He never lost authority. And it certainly wasn't because he didn't believe. It was because they, by their own will, would not let him minister to them. And we're going to have some of that. But this is what's cool. I believe we don't have the Pharisaical, well, I shouldn't say that. Out in the culture, we don't have the Pharisaical problems that they had in Jesus' day, okay? So you may have someone that's not very open to the supernatural. But let me ask you something. If they observe you minister to someone who is open and willing, and something supernatural happens, how long before you think they might go, okay, me next? You know, where before you're a religious nut, you're a weirdo, you're one of those Bible thumpers, blah, 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 blah. They got healed? Seriously, I know that person. Can you pray for me now? Right? See, this is what's got to start happening, folks. But as long as we, don't get me wrong, the truth will set you free. Here's a formula. Here's a formula. Here's another 3-star formula for you. Love will compel you to minister to others. Truth will set them free. But the power of God is what will confirm the truth. And there's too much of the church that are loving and they're preaching the truth, but they don't have any power to say, this is God's word. This is why it's true, because it comes from God Almighty, and he's going to show you that it's true by his power. This is why we need to have the supernatural. And when we do, like I told you, we ain't going to have a problem filling these pews. You won't have any problem at all. And I'm not making an excuse for this or anything, but they won't even care if I'm a bit long-winded on a Sunday. Right now, they'd just be bored with me. My goodness, my dinner's burning. Now, I'm not making an excuse that sometimes I don't need to button it up, but I am telling you, it's not going to be a problem when the supernatural's flowing. Not going to be a problem at all. They're going to say, Pastor, please, preach longer. Feed me more food. I need to know more how to do this. There's going to be a hunger and an appetite again. Amen? So go out this week and just begin to just meditate on what I've shared with this morning, and begin to ask the Lord how you can step out in faith, exercising your spiritual authority for the supernatural. And guess what, folks? You're just going to have to try it. Again, they came up to the crowd the first time. It didn't happen, right? So they had to find another avenue. So if you go lay hands on somebody and they don't get healed, don't go, okay, well, that was my one shot. Whoops, I'm done. Try something else. Get back into the Word of God. Say, Lord, I know this is what it is. Show me. Give me revelation into what is necessary to see this thing be overcome. But whatever you do, don't quit. Keep trying something else, because you know there's power sitting there. You just got to figure out, by the Spirit, how to tap into it. Okay? So as you head out there this week, start stepping out. Are you going to fear man, or are you going to fear God? Will you lay hands on sick people to be healed? Will you share the gospel of the kingdom with them? Will you say, Holy Spirit, give me a word in season, a prophetic word for that person to edify them or comfort them or exhort them onto greater things? These are the gifts of the Spirit. They come from the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Folks, listen, we got to do it. We do. Everybody. As we do, we'll start seeing the kingdom of God manifest in the city. All right, let's pray.